Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Am I audible? Glory to God. Now, you know, welcome you back all from the conference. We thank you so much for the work that you did. There were so many people who did not have a single moment of rest. They stood the whole day from morning up to evening. Eh? Glory to God. And we thank you so much. And there are so many people also who gave of their substance for the Congress. It is not easy feeding 3,500 people. Praise the Lord. Next year we shall feed the number of Jesus. 5,000. So now our target so far is to feed 5,000 like our Lord. Glory to God. But it was wonderful. And I'm also so glad to see Pastor Ruego here. Wait for us a bit. In full color. Praise the Lord. He was also there at the conference. And we're very glad to see him. Hallelujah. Ruego, we love you so much. Even when you leave us, you find us here. You leave us, you go, you come and find us here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you know, Daniel chapter 12, there's something which we are going to do, which is going to get us out of a lazy streak. Because I see there's a lot of laziness among children of God. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to the everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Now, those who are wise will shine like the firmament. But those who turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Now, I remember when I first read that. And the thing is, there are people who are stars on earth, eh? But then there will be those people who are stars in heaven, eh? Forever and ever, praise the Lord. And those who turn men to righteousness, glory to God. Because some of the things, like some of you who are, you know, are familiar with this ministry, that we are taught at the conference might not have been very new in extreme to some of you. But they were not meant to be. They were not meant for you. Eh? They were meant for a certain group of people for whom actually they were such a relief. I remember, I don't even know where this young man got my phone number from. Some guy sent me a message and even introduced himself. And he said, I am so and so, I am a student of Makerere University this year. Even gave me his course in a very organized fashion. Then he told me that, thank you so much for the things. He just said thank you. Then I said, thank you for what? So I guessed. So I said, did you attend the conference? He said, I did. And if I had not, I would never have known all those things. He said, you opened my eyes in a way that nobody has ever opened them before. Now, those are the people for whom that information was intended. Praise the Lord. But now, we are not going to wait until the conference of 2020, what? 2023. Glory to God. Because the one thing we know, before 2020, before March 2020, we could not know the extent of evil that these globalists and the sons of Satan had in store for the world. There is no way you'd know, because you'd read some things about it. There was, in 2017, there was a simulation of some kind of virus and then some kind of lockdowns. And it sounded like some abstract thing, you know, that but did not have any application to my life here and now, eh? Until it actually happened. Then now when it happens is when you look back and say, why was I surprised? There is a bit of these things which had been introduced to me slowly by slowly, which you got to know completely. And now, but it's just that we never did believe that they can be that evil to lock people down over flu for 2 years and destroy people's lives. And it's only just getting started. You know, eh? If they were to have their way. Praise the Lord. Now there's another virus in town, you know, eh? Eh. In 2019, it was party after party. Now it's virus after what? Eh. And vaccine after vaccine. Now, but then, so that time, if they caught us off guard, maybe we had an excuse. We did not know what they think. But now, if they get us off guard again, we shall be to blame. Because we know that they are evil. Because you see, some people actually die because they don't understand the extent that evil people are willing to go down the path of evil. I'll give you an example. When Hitler became chancellor in Germany in 1933, he had authored a book which was called Mein Kampf, which is German for my vision. It was there. The book was there. It was in the shelves. And in the book, he had talked about exterminating Jews. It was there in a book written by him, not hidden anywhere. Now, when he became chancellor, a few Jews said, but why don't we believe this man, take him at his word? So some wise Jews said, we are not going to wait around to see if he meant what he said. So many of them sold their things, those who were in Germany and especially Austria, because that was the place where they expected that his influence was going to reach. Some of them sold their things and left and went to America, some to the UK. But others said, no, he can't mean it. We are Germans. We are German citizens. What? So, you convince yourself. Eh? And you don't know, like, there's a certain method of rationalization that has gotten into people's minds, eh? Where they will do things and they will rationalize it, and then they find out later that they are going down and down, down a certain path. So I was told about, I'll give you an example. Now, some people think that, I'll give you an example like Nyege Nyege. You know, you would find so many believers, eh? Maybe even some of you, there. Because you're going to have what?
Fun.
But there's a difference between fun and ritualistic fun. There's nothing that happens there That does not happen elsewhere. Even now, those things are happening in Kampala. But they are not ritual. Nyege nyege is a ritual. So you come from there and you need deliverance. So if you want the fun, don't go where there is a clear ritual. Why do you think people go to a certain fall and what? Like, you should be able to have some Christian sense. Now, I'm not... Go and have fun. Now, there's fun all over the city. Friday night, isn't it? Yes, but it's not ritualistic fun. Now, you go and join a ritual. And then you wonder why the next day you wake up and there are things that you would never do, which you find yourself doing. And by the way, which is not to say that the things which happened at Nyege Nyege, you can't do some of you in the privacy of your homes. But that is not ritual. You see, eh? You have to separate between carnality and spirituality. Eh? There's a lot of those things which happen, drinking, what, and all those things, eh? Which are carnal. But then there is when they become more than carnal. Eh? But then somebody will rationalize. Then when you read the Bible and you see that there's that, remember that man, that was called Phinehas, when the children of Israel went and joined themselves with the children of Moab, eh? And then a plague broke out in Israel. Eh? Those people were just having sex with Moabite women, just having sex. But it was not just sex. It was ritual. That's why what? Yes. Now you can say, no, it's just sex. No, it is not. No, my point is, not every sex is ritual. Eh? But, and some of you will get me wrong. Eh? Like, it's... I'm not preaching moralism here. Eh? I'm just saying that one was a different kind. That's why there was a plague which broke out. And that's why this man went and got a spear and speared a man who was with a woman, and God praised him and said that you are going to be a priest before me forever. He said you have acquired righteousness forever for killing two people. Now, do you think those children of Israel would not do... This was different. Now, my point is, people can decide to rationalize things, and that's how deception is. Eh? If something doesn't sound right, it probably isn't right. Now, and I'm just giving an example, eh? Some of you are looking at me and I'm seeing as if you were there. Honestly, there is somebody who looked at, who is looking at me this way and I'm saying, calm down. Eh? So anyhow, now what we are going to do is, because the deception that is going on in the world right now can only, because it comes slow, do not ever think that any form of deception is going to come very fast and immediately, because the people who are deceiving, starting from their master, the devil, know that when the mind is confronted with something extreme, the first reaction is to reject it. So, and when the mind rejects it, it's most likely not going to accept it at any stage in future. But now the people who fashion this deception come slowly, 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 in a way that they give your mind bit by bit, eh? one spoon at a time. And then eventually, over a period of years, you find that a culture which was God-fearing now despises God. And it has come slow, 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 and, you know, in doses that can easily be handled by anybody. And then it slips down and down and down, and then goes down. And the next thing, you are up there. Somebody turns around and something which he once believed sounds very childish. And he says, you know, now I'll give you an example. How do you think these people got into this? You know, their deception started with science. Eh? Science. There was a time in the 60s when those people first went to the moon, although there are people who say they didn't go there. Eh? 1969. All the astronauts were believers, and all of them wrote notes saying how they saw the earth, you know, from out there, and they were talking about the greatness of God. Science was not seen that time as contrary to religion or to God, you understand? Eh? Science was just seen as a study, the way you study something else, but it is a different thing. Your faith is different. Now, the notes written by that man, Armstrong, which he was sending down from apparently the moon, an event that has been questioned so much, but that's not the purpose of this, whether or not it happened. My point is, the top scientists were believers. Okay? Until somebody came and turned it around and made it look like it's either science or God. Then eventually comes and turns it around, and now schools no longer teach. Do you know that in those years, schools would teach the scientific explanation of how the world came into being? And then they would teach what they call creationism. These people believe that there is a superior being who created this world. But then there's another school of thought which believes that there was two objects banged each other in the Milky Way and created the earth with all its order. Now, guess what children would believe? Yeah, I mean, you really require a lot more. If you can believe the scientific explanation, you have enough faith to raise the dead. It does not make any sense whatsoever. It is faith, you understand? Eh? So you cannot complain you have no faith if you can actually believe that two objects hit themselves. How many billion years ago? And then they created all this order with the lakes and the mountains and the water and the beauty. That's faith, eh? Eh? More faith than we actually have. Eh? Okay, that is required. But then you see, after some time, they remove the... I'm trying to show you something. After some time, they remove the creationism and they no longer present that explanation as fact, as a theory. They now present it as a fact. Now it's a fact, this is how the world came into being. And then somehow, monkeys came, then we came from what? The monkeys came when they... monkeys. Do you know, I actually took time sometime to read through that stuff. I said, I want to know what these people actually think. So I went and I delved deep into it to go into that theory. And the deeper I went, I said, how can anybody actually believe this? But you see, if it is presented and the other one is mocked and ridiculed and so on, then somehow people are taught that they are smart if they believe the other one. And they are foolish if they believe this one. Then somehow they are herded into a certain place where they believe the other one. But that's not what's important. Because you see, how the world came into being is not so much important for the past as it is for the future. Then eventually the science. Now, as we're saying at the conference, you see that they are going to bring, so your science is bringing people back from the dead. Is that still science? Is that still science? But you see, because people have been made to believe science, so they can say anything. They can say science has done this. And people say, who did it? Science. If it is science, then it's true. Because now they have believed what? They have been made to believe that anything that is clothed in science is true. But actually, the people who are doing it are actually spiritual, deeply spiritual people. And they are in the cabinet of the God of this world, and their purpose is to deceive people and send them into what? Destruction. But they are not going to tell them that we picked this from the underworld and we are presenting it to them. No, they will tell them science. And they will give some kind of explanation. Now, you saw that video of something is wrong. Never mind. It is okay. Now, you saw the other video of the Koreans uniting a woman with what? With her child. Who died some years ago. Bambi. And they said, Mom. Mbusayans. Who told you science? And you see, if people were actually told what it is, some might embrace it, but most would not. So they have to clothe it in something that sounds natural, secular, secularistic, and natural. So people say, it's just science. Science. So brought people back to life. So now people are being reunited with their dead. And that's man. Yeah, eternal life through science. But now I'll give you an example of this young man who sent me a message, because he had some things to say there. I just cut the conversation in between. But I was thinking that the only way that you can actually stop deception is by telling people something that is coming before it comes. But you see, the Lord has been impressing on me that the church is very reactive. Very reactive. We are not proactive. We never actually start something and send it out there. Imagine now if everybody knew that there is this kind of deception which is coming, as we know. This is how it is going to come. This is what they are targeting. They are targeting our minds. They are targeting our personalities. And it seeps through slowly. And it is all tied in from so many ways. I just gave you the example of science. But there are so many other easier ways. I'll give you an example. Personalities. People. The world and the system of the world works towards one thing and one thing only. To make people uncomfortable with who they are. So you there's something about you that you don't like. You've never really made peace with yourself. You don't like your skin color. You don't like your height. You wish you were taller. You wish you were lighter. You wish you were darker. You wish your legs were smaller or bigger. You wish like something that you've never really made peace about with yourself. Now it looks like something small. Eh? You've never made peace with your weight. Okay, at least that one can be changed for some of you. For others, basket case. But my point is, you've even never made peace with how you look. Now, there are some people, and it starts small. I'll give you an example. The other day, somebody was telling me how there are some people who, there's this lady who went and took a picture with a famous British chef. And she's a famous person, a lady. And she took a picture with this chef. Now the chef, maybe is this people who is tells everybody off, he doesn't care, you know, he's that sort of people. So the guy went and posted the picture as it was. Bam! He was looking old, with rugged what, no filters, nothing. Then the lady posted the same picture with filters. The man was looking younger, cuter, and all that, and also how she was looking. But now the thing is, she was very angry. How could this man post a picture of me without filters? Now people are going to know this is exactly how I look. Now you can get addicted to small things like filters. And you're totally not comfortable with how you look. So your picture has to go through Snapchat. Eh? To make your nose smaller, sharper, because you might be having a nose like this. And small, smaller. Now, okay, it looks very petty, eh? But it is the beginning of something. Eh? Because... Now, I'm not saying maybe for some, those are things which are too petty for people, perhaps my age. Eh? But I'm looking at younger people. Now, you come to detest the you, eh? Minus, there's some people actually, somebody told me that posting a picture without filters for me is like posting my nudes. Like, how can you post me without filters? People are going to know I'm dark. No, and seriously, like you feel exposed for something like that. But you see, the system starts slowly making you uncomfortable with who you are. And you see, now that's how you don't know that. That is the devil's first thing. Because I'll tell you this. There are four things which are very, 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 very important for somebody to actually stand firm with themselves, to be uncomfortable with themselves. One of the first one is identity. Actually, that is the foundational thing, identity. Everybody has to define who they are. And the identity can come from your natural identity, which is also very important. Very, very important. Because you know you're there. You're somebody. You're called something. Eh? Now, let's say you're called Derek Mureva. You know who your father is. You know who your grandfather is. Eh? Isn't it? You know what tribe you are. They might not look important because... they are not under question. But what if your mother told you, no, actually, you are, I gave birth from a man called Avudria from Koboko. Eh? I'll give you an example of you because I know you won't mind. My point is, it might look like something small, eh? But it can mess you up completely. Because I know somebody who actually had that. Somebody was telling me a story of some gentleman who... his father was this rich village man who looks after children. Eh? He has money. So Children, he loves children. So you are children, bring children. So somehow, anybody, people, relatives, what, bring children. He says, you bring them, let them grow up here. So somehow they grow up in his homestead. He looks after them, pays school fees and what, and he has no problem with that. And there are people who are like that. Then one time his son, his older son, who is apparently supposed to be his heir, goes and apparently gets a certain lady pregnant, but he says he's not the one who got her pregnant. So the lady brings the child to this man. The man says, no problem. You got the child from my son? No problem. Let the child come and stay here. If you don't want to be with the child, you stay here. But you can stay with the child and look after the child. Then the son is saying that woman is lying. That's not my child. Then the gentleman says, what's your problem? Me, I'm going to look after the child. You shut up. That's not my son. So they got in an argument with the father. It's not my son. It's not my son. She's lying. So eventually the man told her that by the time she says he's your son, it means you went with her, isn't it? So how can you be sure she's not yours? You shut up. Me, I'm going to look after the what? The child. But now the man was, spoke too much. So the old man also got angry and told him, you go and ask your mother if even you are my son. Also, you came like that. You go and ask your mother if you're my son. Now, just that one sentence, the man was a top-flying lawyer, very successful. He started drinking very hard. His life fell apart just because his identity had been changed. You understand? Just that one sentence. This man whom you've known as your father, after you push him to the wall, says, you go and ask your mother. And the mother is alive, but you don't want to ask her because you're scared of the truth. The truth, you'd rather remain in doubt. But you see now that something small as that can disorganize you completely. Now the first thing, and now a lot of all the people whom you see totally not in control of their lives and in addiction, the one thing that has been moved out is what? Is the foundation of identity. That's why it says in Psalms 11 verse 3 that if the foundation be destroyed, what can a righteous man do? Because that's really foundation. Now there is that foundation of your natural self. But then there is also a foundation of your spiritual self. Something that you consider yourself to be, which is like foundational. Now, when the devil starts coming and making you uncomfortable with who you are, how you look, and so on, then they start. Now, how do you think they assign people to go and do stupid things, become activists for all sorts of rubbish and what? The first thing that happens is they change their identity. That's why they go to schools, like in those places, they teach people gender things, telling them that they have a right to be angry because their ancestors were mistreated 300 years ago. I mean, how can you be so stupid to believe that? So you believe it and you become a victim. And you become useless all your life because somebody made you a victim. But you see, those victims are very important. Do you know, to the kingdom of darkness? Do you know why? They are the ones whom they recruit. They are the ones, somebody like that whose foundation has been removed is more likely to go for gender reassignment operations, is more likely to get into addictions, is more likely to become an activist, is more likely to... And now that's how they destroy a whole generation of young people who are there and they are not comfortable being who they are. And then you become a good recruit for the enemy because your identity has been shifted. Now when you come into the kingdom of God and he says, my people who are called by my name, and you understand who, like you restate your identity. I remember when I was doing a study on identity and I used to wonder why it was so important for Paul to keep on mentioning who he is. Every letter, Paul, an apostle, what? Born by the will of the Father, what? Even when he's writing to Timothy, who knows him very well. I was saying, Paul, Timothy knows who you are. You don't have to introduce yourself with all that flowery words. It's not about Timothy, it's about himself. He's about stating who he is. Because within his identity is his purpose. Now, in the absence of an identity, then there is no purpose. And in the absence of those two, you start wandering the earth doing nothing. But let me tell you, one of the biggest things that the Lord gave me, of course identity, yes, but also purpose. Because I can't wake up one day and wonder why I'm on this earth. I know exactly. And I have a clear, clear picture. You see, eh? And every day that I wake up, there is a purpose ahead of me. Now, when you have a purpose, you cannot even be depressed. Where do you find time for depression? Glory to God. Amen? When he told me in 2010 that I want to use you to awaken the church to the reality of the soon return of Jesus, that was my purpose. Praise the Lord. And now, every day that passes, I am saying Jesus is coming, but do people know? If they don't know, whose responsibility is it? It's mine. Now, somewhere, somehow, somebody is going to come and realize. Now, after when we were having lunch after the conference, and I'd spoken those, you know, technology, you know, metaverse, what? There's this gentleman who, Murangira, who came to a conference. He's not born again. He just came because somehow we know each other from political circles. So he came. So I was shocked to see him. I don't even know who invited him. But I was glad he came. So he sat. Then sometimes when you're ministering, you're looking at somebody and say, is this guy getting anything? Because he's there in his suit looking at me like this. So I'm wondering that. So I speak. Now at lunchtime, we're talking with a group of people and discussing, you know, some of this ABC and what. Then the guy just told me, I said, Chichi, ogenze no yogere ibintu bino byonna. Nze funye mu kintu kimu kyokka. I said, Mulangira chichi ofunye. He told me bana abantu tere mangu tufe tubavire. Obola, have you understood? But the guy was, because you are seeing the guys are seem they have taken control over everything. Now, man, you say now what these guys say. Like they have our lives planned ahead of us. And where they are taking us, we don't want to go. So I think the best thing is that let us just die. And leave this world to them. That there is your world we have for us. But I laughed. I laughed so hard. Then the guy looked at me and said, oh, Sekachi. He said, that's not what do we do? Because then he says, okay, so no, you're getting me into how? No, you're getting me into. But now, the reality is this. You realize that, by the way, do you know that now there is something called sudden death adult syndrome? You go and Google it. Sudden death syndrome. People are walking like I am doing right now, then whoosh, bam, they drop dead. Blood clot, heart attack, what? And they're all vaccinated. That's not a joke, they're actually all vaccinated. And then, not it's facts, then they were seeing where this sudden death syndrome is most. And they were seeing countries like Bulgaria, Romania in Europe, where deaths have actually reduced by about 1%. But you know, because every year there's almost an equal number of people who die. Did you know that? According to Worldometer, they're about slightly less than, you know, 50 million people who die. About 47 million like that, who die every year. But now, there has been a surge by almost 50%. In some places, 100%. In most places in Europe and in America. Where now 50 million has become 100 million people dying. And do you know now what is the biggest cause of death recorded, for instance, in a country like Canada? Do you know what is the biggest cause of death? Unknown causes. That's official. Go and check. Unknown causes. Somebody just drops dead. Bam. Now, the next time you're flying, make sure your pilot is what? He's not vaccinated. You can be up in the wind, the guy is... Then the plane starts. Okay, it sounds like a joke, but you know, I was seeing a pilot. It didn't happen in the air. But he got the thing and man, the guy collapsed. Thankfully, not in the air. But what if it's in the air? These days, there are two or three in the cockpit. You'd hope that at least one is what? Is a conspiracy theorist. I don't know. And now, these are real things. Now, you see how deception works. Now, if you dare connect it, all of them started in the middle of 2021. Before that, nobody knew that. Now, I was telling you, countries like Bulgaria, countries like Romania, like Hungary, their deaths have actually reduced. In the case of Bulgaria, the deaths have reduced by 7%. 7% less people dying in this last year, from mid-2021 to mid this year. Now, in countries like the UK, like Germany, like Norway, the number of deaths have gone up minimum 40%. Do you know what separates Bulgaria, Romania, and very, very, very few vaccinations? They jammed it, especially Hungary. Hungary have a very, very conservative president. He does not believe in all that New World Order bullshit. Now, I said it again. You'll be fine. Now, the thing is, and all these things happening in front of us, and then you know what they are saying? Because the correlation is very simple. But you see, in statistics, there is a phrase they use. Correlation does not necessarily mean causation. You know what that means? You know it. Correlation does not mean what? Causation. So every time you say, but how come the country, a few people are there? Correlation does not mean causation. Just because things correlate doesn't mean this one causes the other. Anyway, I got out of my point. I was, you can check sudden death, what? Adult syndrome. People are dropping dead, even here in Uganda. Even here in Uganda. The other day I lost a friend of mine. Finished playing football on a Sunday. He went to dress up. Bam! Down. Dead. We buried. You ask how many people are dying of blood clots now. But when I told people these things, they say you're a conspiracy theorist. Now you see, when the Lord was calling me to this Watchman Ministries, he gave me Ezekiel 33. And he said, son of man, when you see something coming, warn my people. If they don't listen to you, their blood is on them. However, if you do not warn them, their blood is on you. So my duty is to what? And by the way, I take this thing seriously. My duty is to warn them. So I told people, first wait, don't hurry, don't fumble. What? There was a comedian in Canada. He was making fun that how many of you people don't want to take the vaccine because you think it's dangerous to your health. Then some people put up their hands. Then said, okay, now get that hand and use it to slap yourself. Guess what happened to the guy? Bam. Dead. He thought it was a joke. These are not jokes. Do you know, these people are so evil. I was telling you, Hitler said in that book, Mein Kampf, about exterminating the Jewish race. He mentioned it there. The book was published at least 10 years before he became Chancellor of Germany. Now, those people who listened to him, they left and said, we are not going to wait around to see if this man meant what he said. But then others said, no, he can't be that evil. Then they stayed around in Germany. They stayed. And some people would not believe, because by 1935, he had started saying, a Jew cannot own a business by himself. So you have to get a German to own it with. Now the thing is, the Jews were Germans. But you see, it's already creating a what? A separation. So Jews started getting some people who were, non-Jewish Germans, and saying, you come, I give you shares. But he had started, even at that time, they could still live, but they did not. Then 1936, you could no longer leave Germany if you were a Jew. And all of them ended, okay, not all, most of them ended up where? Dead in the camps. But they had 3 years to take a man at his word. Now for me, when I heard these people saying, I heard them. Because I take time to watch, when I heard them saying, they are quoted, that we have to reduce the world, population of the world by at least 70%. I said, what? Who do these people think they are? You know, the devil knows that there is going to be a big end time revival and people are going to come to the Lord. Eh? So he wants them dead before that happens. So that he remains with these wicked people. But of course, we know they are not going to succeed. Eh? Praise the Lord. They are not going to what? Now that's the good news. But there's some not so good news. Now, there was a time when I would see these things and even minister them and say that, my God, these people are so far ahead of us, so far advanced ahead of us. Where is even any hope of us starting to do anything? How can we even hope that we can roll this back? And then there was what I call the escapism of that man, that we should all just die and what? Leave these guys with their world. Can you imagine somebody say, but that thing showed me that the man had understood so much. Eh? Because how can somebody just say that, I think we should hurry up and die. Eh? Don't waste time. Now, then, and there were people who were still saying that so, is all this thing going to happen? Now with all these things happening, the rapture should happen now so that we go. And if the God is not going to leave the world to the devil, don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. You're still in town. If you want to die, find a way of dying. But it is not going to be by rapture. Yet. It's not yet going to be by rapture. We are still in town. We still have a work to do here. Amen? Now, how many people really believe that God is going to do something about it? About all this deception that's going on. You really believe that? Okay, put your hands down. Eh? That's very easy. Praise the Lord. So you son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel or of Uganda. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Amen? I remember when I read that was around 2000, I think, and over 3, something thereabout. And I kept that word in my mind. So when I was starting the ministry, I knew it was the watchman, eh? Because I knew that was the calling. But anyway, I'd moved away from that. Now, so obviously God is going to do something about it. Amen? God is not going to roll back and let the devil take control. He's not. He's God. You understand? He's God. Praise the Lord. And this earth belongs to him. Not to the devil and his crowd. But then, when you realize that, that's a good step. But then you have to realize, he's going to do it through you. Now that's where the hard part comes. God does not have any other constituency on earth apart from the church. So if there's anything he's going to do it through us. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, so the church has to know that when you stand up and declare something, the God whom you serve gets into motion. When you keep quiet, the devil and his crowd take over. You understand? And people don't understand the power of speech. Now, when you come out and speak something, and say something, and you are anointed by the Spirit of God, like the other time when the Lord told me to come out and warn about vaccination of children without parents' consent. I came, I spoke it at a press conference. And I thought it had ended there. My God, I'm told people at the Ministry of Health all abandoned the project because I spoke. But not because of me. You know, when God has anointed your lips and has sent you, like you have... Do you know, I'm told even some people in UNEPI took leave because they did not want to be involved in the vaccination of children. And I used very tough words. I said, you are mass murderers. You have not vaccinated your children and you want to vaccinate other people's children. Do you know what happened? The Minister of Health somehow retreated away from it. The next thing I saw is even the First Lady said, no vaccination without what? Without parental consent. And I had seen that. Then, after that, World Health Organization and World Bank, who are, of course, arms of the... You know what they did? They decided to bypass Minister of Health, and now they are sending money directly to district medical officers to vaccinate the children. So now they are behaving as if we don't have a government. Imagine money coming from World Bank straight to a district. It's like saying, you don't have a government, isn't it? Now even the Minister of Health people were angry with me, now are supporting me because their money has been taken. I'm telling you because they come to me. And now they are saying, no, how can they pass money? What? Bypass money? They were doing it because of money. Now you see the problem, the reason the children of God have been in flight and defeated and is because they are cowardly. And because they have the attitude of, for us we want to be left alone. Man, if you have that attitude, the devil is going to eat you for lunch and dinner. You want to be left alone? Who told you he's going to leave you alone? Who told you you can come into any sort of agreement with the devil? It is fight. Fight. Either you fight or you take the advice of the Mulangira. There is no other option. Amen? Because, let me tell you, the power that is resident in a place like this, you people here, the power that you have is immense. If only you could stand up and talk. But you see, if you are the kind of person who thinks me, I want to be left alone, nobody's going to leave you alone. Now the judge will want to be left alone. Then the next thing you know, pam, the enemy is making strides right into your camp. He's not interested in people are. So now you just get to a point where you understand if God is going to do something, yes, but he's going to do it through me. Praise the Lord. Amen? And now, I'll give you an example. All the deception. Now, he was telling me, the Lord, I mean, last night, that now the things we spoke and the deception that is being targeted towards young people, especially early 20s, university, and even below, whom the enemy is targeting at a, very, very fast rate. Now, that level of deception, we have to confront it head on. Amen? So now we are going to go to the schools and to the universities and we are creating a real army so that when the deception comes, people have heard about it. Amen? It is so difficult for people to be deceived when they were expecting it. So now we are going to go there. We are going to create an army. Now some of you people here who have been sitting lazy, sitting pretty, we are going to ask you to go into those universities. Amen? Amen? And create groups where you teach people these things and prepare them. And we create an army because there is nothing as powerful as a young person who is in possession of truth. Because by virtue of their youth, they are going to move distance. Amen? They will move distances which older people cannot move. And they will reach places which older people cannot move. Now it is our work to go and equip them with that sort of information and tell them that do not hand your whatever over. Because you see, he comes and makes you uncomfortable with who you are. Then afterwards he creates filters where you can create what you want. Make yourself look like what you want. And that's nice. And that's just a simple, innocent thing. Amen? But then it goes higher. Do you know that I meet so many people every day who do not have any personality apart from their social media personalities? They are a totally different person on social media, and they detest the person they are in truth, in reality. They are so in love with their social media image that if you took it away, you've totally undressed them. Actually, you've taken away who they are. You know what I'm talking about. They have a personality on social media. They are this, they are that. And they have built something around themselves and they are so powerful. And they never take any minute to consider who they really are. All they are interested in is building this social media personality. And somebody says that, you know, and I see them on social media, they are very tough, they are bold, they abuse everybody, but find them in real life. Somebody was telling me that, can you imagine somebody, you post some, somebody comes and abuses you and what? I said, you first look at the person who is abusing. You first look at, if you want to see, you just first look at them. You'll find, like you post something on Twitter, somebody comes and abuses you. You look at him. You just go to their account. You'll find he's following 5,000 people and he's being followed by one person, probably his wife. But he's big. You see, eh? So he has a man, he's big, he can blast anybody and what? Like, so he goes to somebody who is being followed by hundreds of thousands of people and he tells him off, eh? Yet he's being followed by one. Now the thing is, my point is, it's not important how many people follow you. Eh? That is like the kind of, pettiness I'm trying to discourage. But my point is, you have a personality which is totally different from who you are. You are useless to the kingdom of God. Because God does not deal with phonies. Amen? He deals with people as they are and who they are. Praise the Lord. That's why there is nothing about myself that I want to put aside. Because God did not make a, like, God was not surprised by who I am. He did not say, when I was calling you, I didn't know you were like this. No. He knew what he was getting. You understand? Eh? So there is nothing shocking. So I will be, now, you see, some people have all this personality and a life in social media. They are just being prepared for something. It's just a preparation for something. The real life, you are cowardly, you are broke, nobody really is interested in your opinion, nobody can even come to ask you what to do about anything, you are unrecognized, your presence is equals your absence. That is you in the real world. But on social media, you're a giant. Now you really fall in love with that. And you're being prepped for something. Now eventually, after that preparation, then the social media goes to the avatar. Then you see that all these young people, it is so easy, it will be so easy for them to get their brains and their soul, everything that they're about, and hand it over to the devil. And by the way, that's the one thing the devil, everything, every substance that is abused, that's what it gives people, an escape from reality. I remember I was watching there's that program I used to like on National Geographic called Banged Up Abroad, of people who are caught, you know, mostly imprisoned abroad, mostly. You know the program? This one doesn't have DSTV at all. I'm joking. Anyway, so this guy says the first time he did what? That somebody told him to go and import cocaine from somewhere. Then he said, I took the first sniff of it, and man, I felt like a certain something comes and, you know, some reality. You become something totally different when you are. And you fall so much in love with that reality that you do everything to escape this reality. And now that is exactly what the devil wants for everybody. That you are not comfortable with who you are. You are not comfortable in your skin. You are not comfortable with any. There is something about yourself you are not comfortable with, that you are trying to escape somewhere. And then he will give you a place to escape. And then you will be there. Where? In this escape place, you are everything you want to be. Now, have you seen those people who smoke, you know, weed? And man, when you've smoked weed, you are anything. Not that I know. By the way, let me tell you, there are things which you can... If you're a wise person, and you're a wise person, I have seen the devastation of those things. You have to be so stupid to even start it the first time. You see, because you've seen powerful men going down, and you want to deceive yourself, you're different. So the only way, I told some young person, the only way you can be sure you'll never be a junkie is by being sure you never take the first puff of any substance. That's where you have control. Anyway, my point is, so you go and take things, and then you start seeing the spirit. Oh, bad. And you totally lose control of yourself. And in the process of losing control of yourself, you become a very good target audience for the devil. You don't like who you are. You don't like your reality. Come and I give you something better. There's something better up here. And you accept it. And you go down that path. And you never come back. And you wind up in hell. And it started by just you wanting something better than who you are. Now, the other day, some lady came to me. I was seated somewhere at a hotel. And she comes to me and says, I've read two of your books. Have you written any more? I said, no, those are the only two I've written. So she tells me they blessed me so much. So I ask her questions to see if she's just talking. Because, you know, sometimes people just talk. So I ask her, how did they bless you? How exactly did they bless you? So she starts relaying to me almost as if chapter by chapter. So I know, okay, this is not just an idle talker. She knows what she's talking. She actually had better memory of my books than I do. So she tells me this, tells me that. So so it was encouraging speaking to her, and she told me this. Then she said, can I please take a picture with you? I said, yes. So she took a normal picture. Then I looked at the picture. I didn't look good. Then she said, can I take another one? Then now she went to Snapchat. Now I looked good. But then I said, but filters are good. Yeah, but I'm comfortable with who I am, without filters, praise the Lord. Because now, are you people getting what I'm saying here? Never let the enemy make you uncomfortable with who you are. God made you like that. He knows what he made. He is God. You understand? Don't wish you were taller, shorter, lighter. Just be comfortable with who you are. And be comfortable with your personality. Because within your personality is your purpose. Praise the Lord. Don't try to overmake yourself over. Because when you try to overmake yourself over, you actually end up despising what God made in you. So now, here is what we are going to do, you people. Because today I'm not going to. I'm about to finish. Here is what we are going to do. We are going to create an army of real watchers who are going to go into every school in Kampala and out of Kampala. And into every university. Amen? And build an army of watchers to train these people not to believe the lie when it comes. That is what the Lord is commissioning us to do. Now, you are thinking God is going to do something and you are happy. The globalists are not going to take over. Our God is going to do something, but our God is going to do that something through you. Praise the Lord. That's why I read that scripture that those who turn men to righteousness will shine like what? Like stars forever. Because you can sit down in the comfortable knowledge of what you have and never do anything about it. And you'll go to heaven. But you wait when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then somewhere, somebody is going to get possession of what knowledge they have. And they are going to step out and they are going to say, I am not going to have this knowledge alone. I am not going to let a whole generation of people be lost to deception. Okay? We are going to teach people what is coming. We are going to teach them that never lose control of yourself to anything. Not to alcohol, not to drugs, not to anything, because it's all about losing control. And you are not in control of yourself, because that's the point at which, why do you think we have in the whole of Acts of the Apostles, I want you to show me where there is a scripture where somebody cast out demons from somebody who is born again. It's not there. There is not a single scripture. Rego, do you know any where they said Peter cast out demons from a man who is born again? Now, but why do we have them now? People open themselves up to these things. They open themselves up to the enemy, one way or the other, by going to certain places. For instance, just going. You have to be careful about, there are certain things you have to be careful about. Very careful about. When I was building my financial life, I would not just give money to anybody. Because there are people whom I would give money to, and suddenly something happens. And you find yourself in a loss. You lose something, you lose what. There's some guy whom I gave money to. I will never forget that thing. It was a miracle. I gave some guy money because he came to me and he was suffering and he needed some money for rent and what. And I was thinking that, now that time God had blessed me, and I was thinking, now, this guy, you're sleeping in a this bowl, you know, and that is of 10,000 a night. So every time he comes, and he's somebody whom I knew from way back. So he comes, he give him money, 10,000 is for having a place to sleep. If he doesn't have it, he would spend the night on a veranda. So I said, what kind of person am I? So I told him, how much is a house that you can get? He told me. So I determined in myself, I'm going to give him rent for at least 3 months, you start from there. So I started by giving him, at that point, some money. It wasn't even for rent, just some money. Man, you know what happened? There's a place I used to stay. People would park cars there and they spend the night. It was an estate. They were, so even outside the gate, people would park a car and the car spends the night because, you know, it was safe. I parked my car there during the day. And they stole lights during the day. There were even kids playing there. I said, this is a miracle. Not even last night. Like, I went home at around midday, and I had intention of leaving and going for my cup of coffee in the evening. So I parked. I didn't want to open the gate and go inside. And so I said, let me park the car here. So I went inside. I came out after 3 hours. They had vandalized the car when kids were playing. So I asked them, what happened? I said, there were men who came here. What? I realized this guy is dangerous. So he called me. I said, let me tell you something. I'm not going to give you a coin again. Now, that was when I was building my financial life. But now, I can give him and nothing will happen because I'm at a certain level. And I mean that. That time I had to be very, very careful. Very careful. Now, some of you have to be careful about where you go. Now, there's somebody who came and they told me that time they had dreams when I think it was a guy. Some guy was chasing him at night, wanting to sodomize him. You know, then he ran. The guy is about to jump on you and you wake up, sweating. Then the guy said, man, I don't know what happened. Then, I say, I'm going to break that thing. So we are talking. Then as we are speaking, the guy tells me he went to a certain place. Where they are known for that. Okay, certain church. You understand? Then I say, you went there, you picked it for yourself. There are places you go to, and you've exposed yourself to some. You cannot go to a pit latrine and you come out smelling nice. So you expose yourself to certain things. Praise the Lord. There are certain places where, and I know them, where if you dare go there, even your car blessing which you had, you leave when you have nothing. Especially if you even get even a kawanke and put there. You wake up the next day and suddenly money is not there. And you wonder, where did money go? And it's not there. and it vanishes. And money is spiritual. Money is spiritual, you guys. I wish you knew how much money is spiritual, but like it is spiritual. There are things which you know that something went wrong here. Praise the Lord. Hey, there's somebody who told me when he... Okay, I want to laugh, but okay, I didn't. Now, this is a financial giant. A financial giant. Then he went and gave money to somebody. Then he found himself without money for fuel. And he was traveling from up country and his car almost kusikad. And I was like, what? You? And he said, man, I think it must be about some. I said, so, what I'm trying to say here is this. People have to be careful about what you expose yourself to when you're building something. Now, of course, after some time when it's fully built, now, you know people, they say, have chisirani, eh? Now, there are people who can come to me right now and I know they have chisirani and I give them money and the chisirani ends. Eh? And I do it by the leading of the Lord. Eh? But there was a time when if I give that person money, he's going to pull me down. But now I'm too high, I pull him up. Praise the Lord. That's not for you, eh? It's for. It took me years to build myself to this place, eh? Where now I do not care. Somebody was telling me that. Do you know some people even giving these beggars money? I gave a beggar money and money. Okay, that's also fake. Eh? But my point is, I told somebody that a friend of mine whom I knew from way back when I was staying in a Muzigo somewhere in Kamocha, and he has stayed there all these years. 25 years. He's still staying in the same place. There. So he comes to me and says, man, he wants me to lend him 300,000 shillings. Then we come up with a payment plan. A payment plan. So I told him, but I don't know. 300,000 shillings. You know, when I saw that man, I realized how the best thing that happened to me was receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I would still be there. Then his son, that's that man's son, before I finish that story, that man's son came and told me that, you know, Mr. Kableta, you're my role model. I said, why? Because he knew me from that time. The boy is about 30, so he was young and of understanding age when I was there. He said, you're my role model. I said, why? He said, because I've seen you from way back, eh? And I know where you came from. But now you're one of the most important people in this country. His words, not mine. Eh? But I said amen. Eh? Okay. I'm the... Some of you are going to feel bad. Eh? But anyway, but I could see his point. Eh? How could you have come from there? Eh? I took somebody there the other day, and I said, I used to stay in this house. And he said, what? I said, I used to stay in this Muzigo like this, eh? With a Mwala. And somehow when you're there, you don't see that it's weird. Eh? You can even sit outside and take a cup of coffee. I used to actually do that. Eh? And the person said, what? I said, this was my house, this one. Then the guy even moved around the house. My friend studied the house and said, eh? Man. Eh? He removes people from dust and makes them sit with princes. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, this guy came with a payment plan for 300K. So I told him, okay. So I gave him $100. Eh? So I told him, you'll get more than 300K from that. Then he said, now how am I going to pay it back? So I told him that, no, don't bother paying it back. It's okay. Then I was telling another person who also is in that phase, also a man of God, is in that phase of be careful. And everybody goes through that phase. Be careful of whom you give money. So I was telling the story. This guy came to me and he has been stationary. Now, if 5 years ago I had given that man money, I would suffer brokenness for like 3 or 4 months nonstop. But now when I give him money, he suffers blessing. Because like they are levels. So anyway, so I told this guy, I said, Chiriwa. He said, giving that man money, he can pull you down. I said, no, I'm past that level. I gave him the money and I continued getting money. Praise the Lord. But what I'm trying to say here is this. Some of you have to be very, very careful about places you go to. Very careful. You'll pick up something which is deadly. And I've seen people like that. So you go where there is ritual, where there is what. Now the interesting thing is this. If I went there, not that I can, but if I went there, it would not affect me. Because I'm not at the level where I can be affected by those things. Eh? But then there are so many people who go there, and then you come back and you're something totally different. And something has happened to you. And you don't know what it is. Then you come and we have to start casting demons out of you. And yet we are not supposed to cast demons out of you. And you could have avoided that thing by just not stepping in places like that. Just don't step there. Eh? And also some people who come, especially people who ask for money. You know I've never asked anybody for money. Eh? Be careful. If you have a blessing, let the blessing speak to the person to give you. So now somebody comes, a financial giant, and he has run out of fuel. So he told me the story and I laughed. Okay, I didn't want to laugh when he was there. Because he would feel bad. Praise the Lord. But then the thing is, some people have to learn lessons the hard way. Let me go back to Mulama. I'm finishing now. How many of you are from universities here? Stand up if you are from a university. Any university, stand up. Okay, you first come in front here. Come in front here, all of you. Don't fear, madam. Come. Don't fear. There's nothing. I'm not going to address any one of you personally. Do not fear. This one, how is your mother? She's fine, eh? Okay, all of you are from university. Which university? Chambogo? Okay, how many of you attended the conference? How many of you learned something? Okay. Which university are you from? Come this side, all of you. So apart from Chambogo and Makerere and KIU, which other one is here? UCU? Cavendish? MUBS? That's it, eh? Okay. Now, here is the thing, young people. Did you all attend the conference? Did you learn something? Were you impacted at the conference? Were you? Now, I want you to be soldiers of God at your universities. Don't just go and sit back. Amen? God is counting on you to turn a whole generation of people who are going to be deceived and taken to hell, to turn them into soldiers of this end-time revolution. Do you understand? Now, we are going to communicate with you and find how we can facilitate, okay? And you go and start. Some of you are teachers of, you know, can teach these things, okay? Isn't it? Yeah. So go and teach your people. God is going to do something to the young generation through you, okay? Because you came to the conference, you heard from me. I'm not a young person, okay? But now you are the people who can, you know, organize for us things. You're doing exams, all of you, isn't it? Eh? Chambogo finished, eh? But this is university. This is exam time, eh? Okay. When does it end? So it's basically next year is when you the semester ends when? Second semester in October. Hey. 1 month gap. Why? Is that because of COVID or is it? Because of COVID. You hold that mic. Huh? That's because of COVID. What's your name?
Komakech,
eh? So what can you do for us, Komakech, at Shambok?
I've already been doing
Teaching. End-time teaching?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, and they actually called me from my class, they called me Kabuleta.
What do they call you?
Kabuleta.
Ah.
Yeah.
Eh, receive the anointing. Eh?
Amen.
Even of finances. Eh?
Amen.
Eh. So, but I'm serious anyway. I want us to do not just sleep on these things. Eh? Because you're children of God, aren't you? Don't you want to work with the Lord? Now the Spirit of the Lord is with you. And is going to help you to go and reach so many students who are there. Okay? Some of them, and now when you, some of them you'll help them come here, but we are not building a fellowship. Eh? We are building an army. You understand? Eh? We are building an army, and we want you to be part of that army. We want you to be the soldiers in that army to go and reach these people. Okay? And you will shine like stars forever and ever. That's what the scripture says. Eh? Because from the conference, I want some, you are the one. No, for you, you are an end-time teacher, so maybe you know too much. I want somebody else, maybe already, huh? What, we had at the conference?
Yes.
What did you learn?
I learned about science and technology.
Which university are you from?
KIU.
KIU, mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And are you able to teach?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Wonderful. So what will you be teaching our people?
It will be about the end time.
Yeah. Okay, so can you, evangelizing means, because we are going to be teaching about end time here. Okay, we'll carry on with what we are teaching that time. Now, you can help people to come here, but you can help them to join the army. And at some stage, what I eventually want is for us, for you to organize and we go and teach people there at the universities. Okay, to build the army there. So now you're going to liaise with our administration and see how we can assist you in the different universities to become a part of this end-time army. So that when deception comes, the people are ready for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you interested in, you know?
Yes.
Yes. So that we do not want people to be deceived, because the devil is going to deceive young people like you. That's his target. And our target is to make sure that as many as possible know the truth, and when they are confronted with a lie, they are in position to resist it because they know the truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, eh? So now, I want you to liaise with when we finish fellowship, as you're having tea there, before you go back to universities, go and talk to the administration, tell her which university you're from, and how you can, you know, help us, eh? Amen? You may take your seat. And now even the rest of us, praise the Lord, the rest of us, the pulpit ministers and everybody, we are not going to sit on ourselves. I had the first Watchman conference in 2015. I started the Watchman ministry in 2014. I had the first conference in 2015. And it was at Serena Conference Center. And I remember that time I was thinking, because the Lord told me to put it there, and I was thinking to myself, I will look so bad when the place is very, you know, is empty. Eh? And I was praying that at least I can have a quarter of the people at the conference. Now, I realized that in everything you create your own platform. I was creating a platform for ourselves. If we went to conference center with the people who came here last Saturday, that place is too small for us right now. But you have to create your own what? Audience. Create your, when you have a message, you create your audience. Don't think that because you have a good message and you're warning people and they need what you have, that they are going to come of themselves. They will not. You have to actually, if you really, really want to work with God, you have to step out, even for some of you here, because there is a lot of laxity among our very people here. And now, you are not turning many, and you have the chance to just invite somebody. Invite somebody. We are going to be bringing a lot of end-time teaching now. Today was just a preamble. Invite somebody who you think is going to be touched by what is being said here. Okay? Bring them. Put them in your car if you have to. provide them with transport if you have to. Do whatever you have to and know that you're doing the work of God. And know that we are building an interim army. And it's going to become big with your help. In reality, even without it. Because God has sent me to do it, and I'm going to do it. Amen? I would wish that you stood with me and we did it. But last night he was telling me that, do not just end at a conference and say it's over. There is going to be mass deception. Make sure you reach everybody that has to be reached. Now, we had to get people, put them on buses from up country, pay transport for them to come. We do not have to do that now. We will go there to where they are and teach them the message from there where they are. Praise the Lord. And also, in all those places, even in those universities up country, we will start chapters of watchers whose work is to know the truth, to watch, to be out and watch, keep their eyes open, and make sure that anything that comes there in possession of that knowledge, it does not take them by surprise. It's very, very important for all of us, extremely important for all of us. So now I'm calling upon you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll put it this way. The Lord is calling upon you, ladies and gentlemen, to not just think you're doing anybody a favor. There are people who still have a very childish attitude. They come here, sit, they think they are doing us a favor by even coming. Yet, there is a whole world out there which God is depending on you to reach. And now the truth is, when you step out and when you warn people, the Lord is with you. And when you speak out, the Lord is with you. When you keep quiet, the darkness wins. When you do not keep quiet and you speak, when you speak, it is your God against their God, and there can only be one winner. When you keep quiet, it is their God. Amen? So you get out there, do something. Now some of you, in your mind, you're thinking, whom can I invite next week? Thank you very much. You're in class. Every one of you has got to have somebody you think you are going to invite. If they refuse, let them jump. Amen? Hey. Some of you are going to invite even guys who wanted to line you. And say, before I decide, you first come. Praise the Lord. Now this is Abraham is laughing as if he doesn't know that. What? Glory to God. Anyway, so that's all I want to tell you. Because ultimately, what is it going to help us to know things? And if, for instance, this deception that was the biggest lie, that was this whole COVID thing and the vaccination and everything that came, if it found people who were aware, you think they would have succeeded? Now, I'll tell you, if there are very few people who know what is coming next, those people will succeed. It's when they come here with their lie and they find people in these universities, these people, the universities who are there, who know, we know where you're taking us. We know what you want us to do. We know that the ultimate destination you want for us is hell. And we do not want to go to hell. We are not going with you. So we are ready to stand up for the truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now with those words, I am commissioning each and every one of you. And I'm going to pray for you that when you go out there and you start evangelizing and you start telling people about the times that we are living in, very important, and start telling them it's no longer enough to be the normal believer the way it used to be in the 80s. You can't be like that, because the opponents are so much different these days. That time, the kingdom of darkness was doing its things and the kingdom of God was doing its things. Now, the kingdom of darkness is evangelizing among us. And there's only one way we win, by evangelizing among them. Praise the Lord. So call anybody, whether they are Christian or actually, if they are not Christian, even the better. So call everybody. Now you people from university, we even put for you transport, by the way. We have transport for you. To come here, attend fellowship, have a cup of tea with us and go back to university. Okay? We know it's a Friday, perhaps the other things you could have done, but you can even do them after here. As long as they are not ritual. Anyway, some people are laughing more than others. So, but just come and let us tell the world what is happening in a way that they will all understand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now let me pray for you. Those of you who are interested in being, stand up if you are interested in being a part of this Watcher's Army. To go out, to turn every stone, to reach every person, persuade, convince, okay? Be knowledgeable yourself. Make sure that the people whom you're trying to persuade, you have enough knowledge to persuade them. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person who commits themselves here. Now, Spirit of the Lord, you spoke to me and you told me that we create this army. And this army is going to go across this nation. Every part of this nation is going to be touched. Every part of this nation, every school, every university, every platform, every place, people are going to be touched with the knowledge of the truth, and that they shall not be deceived when the delusion, the great delusion and the big deception comes into town. I pray in the name of Jesus for each and every person who is here. I pray in Jesus' name that they take this as their personal responsibility to make sure that even as they themselves equip themselves for this end time, they are not equipped alone, that they make sure as many people as possible are equipped. And now, as even you sent me as a watchman to warn the people, I pray for the anointing of a watchman upon each and every person here to equip them to warn the people in the name of Jesus. And we build this end time army in Jesus' name. An army that shall not be deceived, an army that shall not be cowardly, an army that shall not stand when the enemy is running rampage, but will stand up with the truth and confront the lies with the truth. And the truth shall prevail, Heavenly Father, because the Spirit of truth is with us and is upon us. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, because this anointing now is upon these people to carry out this commission, to carry out this great commission for this end time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you're standing, say, if you stood because you want to, say, I'm a watcher. I am a part of God's end time army. Yeah, and army people don't sit down. Army people go and conquer territory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, in your workplaces, in your schools, in your areas of business, we want people who are going to take over territory and bring people. Don't just be quiet and say that, you know. Go and capture people who are there. You know, Admin was telling me that somebody whom she knows, whom I will not say, came to the conference as an atheist. And he left us something else. And even said that, he said, I am going to attend the next fellowship. Because you see, people are deceived that atheists, because they are told it's science. But it's not science, it's spirituality. And it's demonic spirituality. If they were actually told the truth, that it is not science, it is demonic spirituality, they would not believe it. Amen? You may be seated. They will not believe it if they were told. But they are deceived. It's all wrapped up in science and all that. So now we are going to make sure that they understand exactly what's happening. And every time we shall have something special, some kind of small special thing, some kind of doors for people like that. So sometimes we'll have here messages for the usual people. But most of the times we'll have messages for the new people whom you are going to bring. Mr. Ngola. For the new people you are going to bring. You're also covering yourself like you are. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon the watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.